الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا وطبيب قلوبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا صدق الله العظيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Most respected and honorable ulama ikram, Hufaz of the Quran al-Kareem, elders and dear brothers in Islam, first and foremost, we give thanks and gratitude to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala giving us the opportunity to present ourselves for the Jummah Salah today. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept this effort of ours and make it a means of salvation for us on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant each and every one of us ikhlas and sincerity. And may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgive us and our families, our parents and the Muslim Ummah till the day of Qiyamah. Dear respected elders and dear brothers, from among the beautiful teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us certain guidelines and certain prescriptions regarding certain challenges and problems that a person and an individual may face in his life. For example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised that a person who is suffering from sihr or from some type of sorcery, then that person should regularly recite the Mu'awwazatain, Surah Falaq and Surah An-Nas, and this will be a form of relief for him. In a similar manner, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith had advised us that every morning a person should recite Surah Yasin. And the recitation of the Surah Yasin will assist a person to overcome the challenges that he will face during the day with ease. In a similar manner, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us that a person, every night, he should recite Surah Mulk, Tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. And in this way, a person will be protected from the difficulties and the challenges that will be presented in the grave. So in this manner we find that at various junctures Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given different prescriptions to recite different parts and portions of the Quran al-Kareem for various types of challenges. One very important advice and teaching that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given this ummah is the recitation of Suratul Kahf on a Friday. And many of us, alhamdulillah, are aware of this important surah and the recitation of it on the day of Jumu'ah. And alhamdulillah, many of us may be reciting it on the Friday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq. Now, when we look at Suratul Kahf and we ask ourselves the question that what is the reason for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribing this particular surah on a Friday? First and foremost, when we look at something from the hadith, we find that it generally is accompanied with a virtue, or it is accompanied with a specific reward. And the recitation of Suratul Kahf, in various ahadith, it has been mentioned that this surah carries great benefits for its reader. In some ahadith, it is mentioned that a person who recites or memorizes the first 10 ayat and the first 10 verses of Suratul Kahf, this person will be protected from the evil and from the deception of Dajjal. And we know Dajjal is a person who will emanate and who will come very close to Qiyamah as one of the major signs of Qiyamah. And he will obviously have a very specific modus operandi. His work and his job on this earth will be to create deception, to create havoc, and to misguide and mislead people. So a person who recites the first 10 ayat, and in some ahadith it comes the last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, he will be protected by virtue of this recitation from the fitna and from the vice of Dajjal. In other ahadith it is mentioned that a person who recites Surah Al-Kahf on a Friday, then a light, a celestial nur and light will be created for him from his abode, from his home till the Ka'batullah. In some ahadith it is mentioned from him to the heavens. And in other ahadith it is mentioned that a person will be forgiven for the wrongdoings that he would be doing from one Friday to another. So in that manner there are many virtues that have been mentioned in the hadith regarding the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf. But I think from all of them, most importantly, is the protection that a person will achieve from the fitna of Dajjal and from the evil and the vices of Dajjal. And we learn further from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the fitna or the vice or the deception of Dajjal will not only begin or will not only commence when he comes into this world, when he makes his arrival, but rather they will be a prelude. There will be a period when the stage will be set for Dajjal. Many of the things and the vices and the fitna that he will perpetrate will already be in vogue in the world. People will already be addicted and will already be hooked onto many of the things that Dajjal will promote. And when he will arrive, it will be merely a matter of just now taking the people from the little iman that they may have into complete misguidance and into disbelief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So we find that the recitation of the surah is extremely important. It is imperative. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised it on a Friday. And therefore every attempt should be made by a person to make it a point that on Friday we recite Surah Al-Kahf. Now, Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, he is known very popularly in the world as Sheikh Abul Hasan Nadwi or Ali Mian, a very great and dynamic alim of our recent times. And he was a great author, he was a thinker, he was known as Mufakkirul Ummah, the great thinker of this ummah. And many of his works have been translated into many languages. And from among his various writings, he has written a very important tafsir and commentary of this important surah of the Quran, of Surah Al-Kahf, which is known as the Cave. And it is not a very lengthy book to read. In English it is translated into about 100 pages. The original was in Arabic, titled As-Sar'a Bayn al-Iman wal-Madiyya. So this is a very crisp and a very concise translation of Surah Al-Kahf, or rather an explanation of Surah Al-Kahf. And it gives a person a very good window into the meaning of Surah Al-Kahf and the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us to recite it on a Friday. Now, Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi says that from a very young age, from the time he was about 7 years old, his mother impressed upon him to read Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. And he always wondered in his young mind that what was the reason behind this and why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribe this surah. And as he grew older and as he began studying and exploring, he says he then realized and he then came to a conclusion that this surah is important in this era of ours because it is directly related to the challenges that we will face in this era which is close to Qiyamah, or in the era of fitna and vice, if you want to call it. So therefore, this surah became endeared to him and he wrote a tafsir on it and he impressed upon it in many of his lectures and his writings. Nevertheless, he explains in this tafsir of his the various incidents that are mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. And of course, there is definitely no time for us to explain each and every incident. But basically, there are four important incidents in the surah. And those four important incidents have four important themes behind them. The first incident has a theme of the trial of faith and belief. The second incident that is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf has a theme which is to deal with the trial of wealth and children. The third theme of the surah is an incident between Musa alayhi salam and Khizr alayhi salam, which has the theme of knowledge, the importance of knowledge. And the fourth incident that is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf is relating to the theme of authority and power. And therefore, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali has titled this book of his, Faith versus Materialism. In other words, the entire theme and crux of this surah is faith, iman, belief versus materialism, versus deception, and versus the type of vices and the difficulties that we face today. Now very briefly, we will just go through these four incidents because they are very, very intriguing, very fascinating, and very interesting for us to read and to ponder over. And of course, the most important thing is to take the lesson and to implement it and practice upon it. Because the Quran al-Kareem we find in these incidents does not go into all the details of the incidents. For example, in Surah Al-Kahf, as far as the cave is concerned, the Quran al-Kareem does not mention the location of the cave, the exact location of the cave, for the simple reason because that was not necessary. The necessary thing was the import, the message, what the message of that particular story was trying to drive. In this first incident, we find very briefly, there were seven young friends or seven youth. And this story is well documented in other religious books also as the seven sleepers. These seven young people, they were living in a place or in a location where a king was forcing and impressing upon the people to make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ascribe partners to him and to do idol worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed these youngsters with some inspiration, with some tawfiq and hidayat. And they had realized that this was incorrect, this was haram, and we cannot ascribe any partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to free ourselves from this idol worship, from this disbelief, and we need to shield ourselves and protect ourselves from this. So ultimately, eventually they decided, not as a group, but in their individual capacity, that they will seek refuge in a particular cave, in a place where they will not be able to be found. And from there, they will then continue with their journey and they will try and decide what would be the best option for them as far as the future is concerned. So these seven young individuals took refuge in this cave, in this Kahf, as it is known in the Quran al-Kareem, and they resided in it. They had a little bit of provision with them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. First, before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ. Allah says, what do you think, or what do you know about this important incident about Ashabul Kahf, the inmates of this cave? And in the commentators mentioned that some of them have been referred to as Ashabul Raqim, because after their achievement, when they had woken up after 300 years, then the king at that time had made an inscription and a tablet where their names were recorded. So they had become known as Ashabul Raqim. So, these people had taken refuge in this cave to protect themselves from this difficulty and this challenge of iman and faith that they were facing. And eventually, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. Allah says that we had placed a huge or a major slumber upon them, a deep slumber upon them, where they had gone into a very deep sleep. A very deep sleep, and we know when a person sleeps, first a person's eyes go to sleep, he closes his eyes, but his ears are still attentive. And thereafter, when a person goes into a very deep sleep, then his ears also become inattentive. And when a person wakes up, then first his ears become attentive, and then a person wakes up, his eyes open. So these people were sleeping very deeply, they were in a deep slumber. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further describes the sleep of theirs. Allah says that, we had created such a situation for them, a unique situation where, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had turned their bodies from the right to the left so that they would not be affected by the decomposition. Allah says, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. That when you would look at them, their eyes would be open, but they were asleep. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also made provision for the sun. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. That when it used to rise in the morning, then it never used to enter the cave. And at sunset also, the rays of the sun never used to enter the cave. So Allah protected them in this manner. And eventually, after 300 years, these youngsters had woken up. They thought that they had slept for a short while, for a day or two. But when they woke up, then there's an entire incident how they send a friend of theirs into the town. And when he went in there, he realized that this was a place that had a new government and a new king and a new people. And it was now 300 years later. And eventually the story peters out into the fact that these people were discovered and they were then revered and their achievement was then recorded as the Ashab-e-Kahf and the sleepers of the cave. But the point to drive here is that these people achieved this on the basis of their commitment and their conviction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they faced a challenge at that time in their era and they had taken the necessary steps to go into this place of protection. They shielded themselves from the fitna of that time, and in that way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them, they became legends of their time, and at the same time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded their incident in the Quran al-Kareem till the day of Qiyamah. The second incident is an incident between two friends. Allah speaks about it in the Quran, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابِ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا. The ayat continues, where Allah says, this one person, we had given him a lot of material wealth. We had given him gardens, we had given him vineyards, and he had palm trees around it, and he had springs that were spurting from it, and everything that a person would regard to be a very wealthy and a rich person at that time. And he had a friend who was advising him, and he was telling him that, you know, all of this is the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this person, وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِ. He entered his garden, he entered his estate, and he said, and he was proud, he was haughty, and he said, all of this is my effort, it is my doing, it is my hand that is at work. And this is the actual crux of the theme of this particular incident, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with wealth, and Allah blesses a person with some form of achievement, then that should be attributed directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is no work and no achievement of the individual, but it is the mercy and the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah chose that person for that particular ni'mat and that particular bounty. And his friend began advising him, and وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ, and he began consulting with him, and he told him, look, don't have this attitude. Have the approach of gratitude, have the approach of humility. But his friend was not interested, and eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroyed this entire estate of this person, all his wealth, all his investments. And the Quran Sharif says that he then regretted his actions. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا. Now he began regretting and mulling his palms over the investment that has now been lost, but it was too little too late, and this was the end of this particular person and the wealth that he had possessed. So important theme here, لا قوة إلا بالله. Allah mentions in the Quran al-Kareem regarding this incident, لا قوة إلا بالله means that there is no power, there is no force, and there is no giver, there is no being that can empower a person besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is the driving theme in this particular incident. The next incident, just to recap again, as we mentioned in the beginning, the first incident was the trial and the challenge of iman, faith and belief. The second incident is the trial of wealth and children. Because of course this person, among what he possessed, was a lot of children, a lot of progeny also. The third incident is with relevance to knowledge. And here Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, oh Musa, who is the most knowledgeable person in this world? At that time Musa ala nabina alayhi salam was the Nabi. He told Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I am the most knowledgeable person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told him, no, there is somebody who is more knowledgeable than you. And he went on an assignment and a pursuit for knowledge. He went out with his khadim, and he went to look for this person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking about, and it was none other than Khizr alayhi salam. And eventually when he found Khizr alayhi salam, after a very lengthy journey, he asked Khizr alayhi salam regarding the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with. Khizr alayhi salam told him that إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيَ مَعِيَ صَبْرِي, that you will not be able to tolerate and be with me, you will not be able to understand my operation. But Musa alayhi salam insisted upon him, وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِدْ بِي خُبْرًا قَالَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا. He said, inshallah, I'll make sabr. I'll come with you, and I will be patient. Then Khizr alayhi salam takes him, and there are three further incidents in this where he comes to a place where there is a ship. And Khizr alayhi salam then removes the planks of the ships, and he damages it and it sinks. And Musa alayhi salam protests and he says, how can you do this? These are good people, kind people, they gave us a free ride. Why did you damage the ship? Khizr alayhi salam told him, be patient. He went on to the next incident where they came to a little young boy, and Khizr alayhi salam murdered him, killed him. And then Musa alayhi salam then asked him again, how can you kill an innocent soul? Khizr alayhi salam tells him, I told you, you will not be able to make sabr with me, you will not be able to tolerate me, you don't understand me. And they went on, and the third incident where they came to a town, a place, and these people, they asked him for food. These people were very, they were not hospitable towards them, they were very arrogant towards them. And thereafter, Khizr alayhi salam then builds a wall which was falling or which was in disrepair. And Musa alayhi salam then again asks him, he says, look, you did all of this, but these people were so unbecoming towards us. Khizr alayhi salam told him again, you will not understand. And eventually he then explained the hikmat and the wisdom behind the different actions that he did, that ship was going to be captured by some pirates and robbers, and therefore he saved that person's asset. and the little boy would become a means of misguidance for his parents, and therefore he killed him, those parents will always get another child. And in a similar way, the wall that was in disrepair and was falling down, Khizr alayhi salam had built it because there was a fortune which belonged to some orphan children, and that fortune would be exposed if he did not build that wall. So this ilm and this knowledge came exposed to Musa alayhi salam thereafter, after Khizr alayhi salam had explained it to him. But again, the theme and the important point in this particular incident is the fact that knowledge is a challenge and it is a trial of our time. And therefore, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before a person's feet even move, one of the five things that a person will be questioned about is, مَاذَا عَلِمَ بِمَا عَمِلَ مَاذَا عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ, that what did you practice upon the knowledge that you had? And today we find that there is an information explosion or an information overload. With all the type of gadgets and technology that we have, there is so much of information, but how much of it is good, how much of it is futile, how much of it is beneficial, and what are we using the knowledge for, and how much are we practicing upon? These are all the questions that come about in this particular incident of the trial of knowledge. And the last incident is the trial of power and authority, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Zulqarnain, a king at that time. Allah gave him power over the east and the west, and he had come to this one particular place between two mountains. And these people were being troubled by Ya'juj and Ma'juj, who we know will be a major sign of Qiyamah. And they had asked this Zulqarnain to protect them from the fitan, from the vice and the difficulty that they were facing. And he had then built a wall, and this wall was built very high, very smooth, and with a lot of raw materials, so that it would be very powerful and strong, and these people would not be able to scale that wall. But here again, this was the power of authority. Allah had given this person authority, and he had used his power and authority in the correct manner. So these four trials Dajjal will come with on the day of, when he does arrive before Qiyamah. He will come with the trial of knowledge, he will come with the trial of wealth and children, and he will come with the trial of belief and iman, and he will come with the trial of power and authority. And how we adapt to those trials and how we react to those trials will be very important. So the recitation of the Suratul Kahf is extremely important. We should try and learn the first 10 and the last 10 verses by heart and read them and impress upon our families to also recite them. And at the same time, with reciting Suratul Kahf, we should take all those measures to try and protect ourselves from the fitan that are mentioned and the challenges that are mentioned in the surah. In those days, those little youth, those youngsters had gone into a cave. Today, perhaps, we do not have to physically go into a cave, but we can symbolically go into our cave. Our cave could be this masjid, could be the masjid in our area, where programs of iman and yaqeen and programs to protect our iman take place. Because the challenge and the important thing is the survival of our iman and our faith. In a similar manner, these youngsters had taken to this cave. We can use other programs and other methods. Our home can become an environment like a cave, and we can protect ourselves from these fitnas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect one and all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.